May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, the lessons today, the lessons today deal with growth. Growth in our behavior, growth in our love, especially because of Jesus' radical teaching of love that we hear in the gospel. The love that God gives to us and that he expects us to love him and each other in return. Sounds easy, but sometimes it's not. What I like is how we start off with the kava. We're to realize that, I'll just read the first one. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Now, if we think about that, if we take that to heart, that's really a lesson that could take hours to talk about, to meditate on, to think about. Whatever we do, even if it's something we think is really spectacular, if we're not happy to do it, if we grumble about it, if we complain, or if we really don't want to do it, but we do it because we think we have to, it's worth nothing in the sight of God, because he wants everything that we do to come from love, our love of him and each other. And then because we need help in that, I think everybody does one time or another, because we need help in that, the next thing that we do is we pray for God to send us the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit, and I love this word, pour into our hearts your greatest gift, which is love. And if we think about that, you know, we want God to pour his love in us so that we can reciprocate. Not just dribble a couple of drops. We're talking a lot of water, a lot of love. We need that from him to keep us on track, to keep us growing towards him. Now, even the Old Testament lesson, we learn a lot. Why we are holy, and why do we share? It explains. So first of all, the Lord says to Moses, God bless you, you shall be holy. And we learned this for the last couple of weeks. It's been repeated. Why are we holy? Because of that we do things that are good and that are loving? No, we're not holy because of that. We're holy because we belong to God. That's the only thing that makes us holy. It's God, our Creator and our Father, that makes us holy. God lives in us. He dwells in us. And we hear that in abstract ways several times during these lessons. And then here it is. When you reap your harvest land, you are not to reap to the very edges or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You're not to strip your vineyard bare or gather all the fallen vineyards. What does that mean? There's going to be things left over. So we can do our work, but not be greedy. And what God is trying to teach the people of Israel at that time is leave them for the poor. Leave them for your enemy. Leave them for the aliens. Just leave something that you have for the poor. So we're supposed to learn how to share. And then what's interesting in this lesson, it says this twice, you shall not steal. So that's important. We're not to steal from one another. And it goes on. There's quite a list, but it really goes with the gospel. You're not supposed to deal falsely with others. We are not to lie. We are not to swear falsely by using God's name, because then we profane our God. And that is right from God, because he says, I am the Lord your God. And then the list is longer. It says, you shall not defraud. And here again, you shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. In other words, if we have somebody that works for us, we're to pay them promptly. Because maybe they need it. Maybe we'll forget. We're supposed to be honest and fair with everyone we have dealings with and do it promptly because we love them. And then, I've never noticed this one before or thought of it this way. It says, you shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. So God, back then, was even telling us, be careful of the handicapped people. Take care. Don't shun them. Don't ridicule or make fun or bully somebody that's handicapped. The opposite. Be helpful. Be encouraging. Include. Try your best to make them feel the love of God. And then it goes on about being partial. Well, we are not to be partial to the poor or the rich. And then we are to be like having justice and judge our neighbor with justice. And then it goes on. It says, you shall not go around being a slanderer. We are not to profit off of the blood of your neighbor. We're not to hate our neighbor. And if we see that our neighbor is stealing or doing something wrong, gently correct them. Because if we don't, then we're kind of like having the guilt ourselves because we're not trying to help them grow. So it goes on. And then Moses, you know, he prophesies for God. He says, do not take vengeance. We are not to be vengeful. We're not to bear grudges. Think about that. That's a tough one that we're not supposed to do. And then the final verse says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, their needs are maybe a little bit more important than our own. And if we think about how we love ourselves, think of the detail in what we do. How we comb our hair, brush our teeth, how we have to be sure we have Kleenex, how we have to be sure that we have water. All the things that we do for ourselves, we are to do for others. If we're prepared for ourselves, we have to help others prepare who need it. But then, believe it or not, with all this that we've learned from the Old Testament, we learn more. Jesus expands on the thought in actions of love. A little bit more growth with Jesus. This gospel starts off with, well, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, back in ancient times, this was a growth, because at first, this ball was called Lex Talionis. First, what would happen, let's say somebody from Wysox would come over and get into a fight with somebody that was from Tawanda, beat them up, and oh my goodness, the person might die. And then they go back over there. Well, then what would happen back then was that all the people, the tribe of Tawanda, would go over and kill all the people in the tribes of Wysox. So they were trying to grow themselves. And so they learned that, well, okay, one for one. This person killed this person. Okay, they're responsible. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Kind of like protected the rest of the community that was there. And then Jesus goes through and he explains, you know, don't resist. Don't strike. You know, give what you can. Do the best you can. But then he says, and this is how the growth comes. You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and help your and hate your enemy. And here it is, very radical. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. God loves us when we sin. Is he pleased? Does he like that? No. But God still loves and encourages us, even when we do despicable things. And that's what we're to do for others. We're to love them back to God. We're to love them and care for them. Doesn't mean we have to like them all the time, or, you know, people might not like ourselves, what we do. But we're not to what? Take vengeance, and we're not to hold grudges, and we're to be encouraging and gentle. And why do we do this? Jesus says, so that we may be children of our Father in heaven. That's what makes us different. Our love, the love of Jesus, shown in everything we say, do, and think. And then Jesus goes on and he says, it shows that God is impartial. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He also sends a lot of snow and ice on the righteous and the unrighteous. There's no partiality. Things happen. But Jesus says, so if you love those who love you, this is the last point, but this is really good. What reward is that? If you love only those who can give you all that you want or love you back or your best friends, but if you only love those who love you, what's the big deal? Even the tax collectors and the Gentiles do the same thing. That's not being different. And then Jesus says, if you greet only your brothers and your sisters, what are you doing more than others? You know, it's not a big deal. That's typical. What's not typical is if we love everyone, enemies, strangers, everyone, because God made them. We are God's creation. So Jesus ends, he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are to be different and love like Jesus loves. Jesus' love was different, and that's what we are to imitate. So there's a lot of growth and learning even till this day, and for centuries to come. But if we keep the deepness, the depth, the sincerity, the truth of Jesus' love in our hearts, and kind of reach for higher standards, being more encouraging and loving and accepting and nurturing, realizing that other people's needs are more important than our other and than ourselves, and then also remembering all the laws, all the commandments, all of these thoughts are not only ourselves doing for others, but others doing for us. It's a protection for us as well to be loved and encouraged and nourished. So we learn that we are totally devoted to our God, to love him, to love his people. We are to learn to go beyond ourselves out of love, to serve and love God, and to serve and love one another. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everyone here and for the heat. Thank you that the snow is melting. Thank you for all the gifts that everyone in this parish has given for so many different reasons, especially in the back of the church and downstairs for the animals of your creation. And thank you for all of our hearts and our love that we have for you. And just keep us within your loving arms. And keep us learning and pour your Holy Spirit into us with your love and devotion that we can be reciprocating that to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.